Now, a recent survey has found that Australia is in the midst of a sleep deprivation epidemic, apparently. The survey claims that around one in three of us makes mistakes at work because a lack of sleep, and one in five admit to having fallen asleep at the wheel. Crazy stuff. Now, Nick Grozier is the Professor of Psychological Medicine at the Brain and Mind Institute at the University of Sydney Medical School. He joins me now to have a chat about this. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Adrian.
Now, how do we define sleep deprivation? What's the definition?
There's a few definitions. So deprivation implies that you are deprived of sleep. So some people are deprived because they don't have the opportunity, like, you know, mothers of young kids or shift workers. Some people get deprived because they actually have real trouble sleeping, even though they have adequate opportunity.
Right. Now, this recent study that's come out claims that 5.5 hours is not enough for us to function on. And it could lead to, you know, a lot more serious things like diabetes, heart problems further on down the track. What does your research say about this? Because you've got a bit of a different point of view.
Well, I don't disagree with that angle. I don't disagree that short sleep duration, so people who don't get enough hours of sleep, actually have problems. And the research is really consistent about that, in that people who sleep under about 5.5 hours, like you say, they make mistakes, they're not as good cognitively, and it increases your risk of a whole range of problems, such as diabetes, and even actually death.
Wow. Okay, and how does it lead to that? How are they linked? If it's you're just sleeping, you're just lying there.
Oh, some of it is possibly linked to the fact they have other disorders that cause them to not sleep as well. But a lot of people are now looking into the idea that the sleep deprivation itself changes such things as your metabolic system. Ah. It changes the way that you actually lay down the kind of foods that you have when you eat them. It changes your autoimmune system. Wow. So it actually affects the body physiologically once you get down to those very low levels of sleeping.
Okay. How much should we be sleeping? What's healthy? What's the healthy? I'm sure there's a range, but what is healthy for an adult human?
Yeah, there's quite a range. The National Sleep Foundation recommend somewhere between sort of 7 and 9 hours, and I think that's kind of reasonable for an adult. Many people can function quite well on 6 to 7 hours of sleep a night, and some people, you know, require a little bit more. So really that kind of range. If you're a young adult, you probably need a little bit more. If you're an older adult, you probably need a little bit less.
All right. Speaking of young adults, what part, you know, technology is so important, especially with younger sort of people these days? What part does technology play in all this in restricting people's sleep and avoiding them getting away?
Well, there's a huge intrusion of technology into our lives. The jury's still out on whether or not those people who are using their tech late at night are those who would have been reading under the bed covers late at night. But we do know that young people tend to sleep later and get up later, and that's been observed across many different countries. The impact of that for teenagers and young adults is actually they're a bit sleep deprived during the week. They're kind of jet lagged, and so many of them have a catch up later in the weekend. But our research at the Brain and Mind Centre has shown that if you are one of these people who are significantly what they call phase delayed, you shift round, that increases your risk for a whole range of psychiatric problems as well.
Wow. And what are those? What sort of things can happen?
Things like depression or bipolar disorder.
Wow. Can become, if you don't get enough sleep.
If you are sleeping round that kind of what they call your body clock shifted around or highly variable.
Right. Wow. Okay. So interesting. If someone is having trouble getting to sleep, what are some habits they can get into? What are some tricks they can do to improve their sleeping habits?
So the very basic is what they call sleep hygiene. And that's around limiting the kind of stimuli late at night. So not looking at your screens in the last hour, not reading, you know, not doing too many things in the half an hour before you go to bed, because it may be the light from the screens or it may be the stimulation that's going on in your mind, not having the caffeine. Having regular hours is really important. And the key often to getting a good regular sleep is actually a regular getting up time, not a regular going to bed time.
Ah, okay. So it's both ends of it. Sort of have to be.
And we try and work on the getting up time and regularising that rather than the late night one.
Right, okay. I find myself watching an iPad, you know, sitting there watching something on Netflix, whatever it may be, and I find that helps me get to sleep. Am I doing it wrong there?
Some people are absolutely fine doing that. And, you know, maybe you're not watching something particularly stimulating. You're one of these people who the screens don't have a particular effect on your system. And there'll be many people who are like that. So if that works for you, that's kind of okay.
That's incredible. That's amazing. Well, thank you, Nick. Thank you so much for joining us on the day today. There we are. That was Nick Grozier, Professor of Psychological Medicine at the Brain and Mind Research Institute, University of Sydney's Medical School, discussing his research into the so-called sleep epidemic. Thank you so much, Nick.